This tape is being recorded at the City of Berwick offices on the 26th of April 1991. My name is Deborah Stefan and I'm just getting organised for an interview with Mr. David Lee, a councillor with the City of Berwick in the first year of its operation, 1973. Firstly, I was wondering how long you've lived in this district, and have you always lived at Hallam?
Well, since 1964, early in 1964, 14th. Yeah, I came here about the 20th, I think, of February 1964. Mm-hmm. I had been in the Air Force for about 10 years. I came from Jembra before that, and Mombatha again before that. But in 1964, we settled in Kays Avenue first, and then later on in Charles Avenue. We built in Charles Avenue, but there's a lot of difference there. There were not so many houses about there. It's about, but the development came in about three different stages. There was so many recessions, or I forget now what they called them then. Finance cuts or something of that sort. That fits and starts. It'd be a boom and a bust, and they'd be going like that. I forget the name of what they call them then, but more or less many recessions, I should say. And our area was, most of the area of Hallam, the Prince's Domain, and I forget now what they call our end, near the present freeway. They lacked street facilities. The roads had been formed but hadn't been sealed. No, or very few footpaths, I think just a few bits here and there. I think in most cases the curving and channeling had been done, but I can't remember. But anyhow, we did get the roads. We set up the Hallam Ratepayers Association. And
what year would that have been?
I'm not sure, I think it probably would have been about 1966, 66 or 67. It could have been about 67, I think. Because I can remember there was, in 1968, I was at a meeting and got word that my little son had been born, that's right, so I had to rush off. But then, that was in our neighbour's house, Billy Gay, but there was involvement then, a lot of agitation towards getting the high school. There had been a committee working on it, and it hadn't happened. The authorities had not made their decision to allow it to happen, and all of a sudden, after another committee that I was on, of the Ratepayers Association, had been working for it again, the authorities decided that they'd open up about three schools. They had the money for, they'd allocate some for Hallam and some for somewhere else and so on. So it looked as though we had the effect, but it wasn't that, but they decided that that's where they're going to put them, because they got a certain amount of money and a good proposal, or a good I don't know what you call it, a proposal from the developers anyhow. And the Hallam High School was begun. I forget now where the others were, but anyhow, we got the Hallam one.
I'll just check it. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your own background, the sort of work you did, and whether your family had been involved in local government previously, that sort of thing.
Well, no. Well, my dad, though he hadn't been involved in the local government, in one way, a little bit earlier, I suppose, many, many years ago, he had been the Shire of Ferntree Gully, I think, Howard, the man that organised, goes around doing the rates, not collecting them, but to
assessing,
I think, yeah. That was for a brief time. That was in the early 1920s. He'd come back from the First World War, and he got chopped about. He wasn't able to work physically, but apart from that, I'd been in the timber gathering work up at Jembrook prior to going into the Air Force, and spent about 10 years there, and came out as mostly labouring and factory work and that sort of thing. So I had no real connection with the municipal side of things, only through the Ratepayers Association, and because I'd been so vocal with some of the others, I thought, well, as we had the separation now, it was my turn to put my money where my mouth is and nominate to help create a council. So I was fortunate enough to be elected at least for the one term, and we went ahead and we're lucky. We had the good people, the administrative staff.
Oh, hang on, you're dashing ahead a bit. Do you recall the creation of the Dufton riding in 1965 and any of the circumstances of that?
No, very little, only very, very vague, because all I knew of that was what I'd seen in the papers when I read anything in the local papers. I wasn't very familiar with it. I think, if I remember correctly, that Councillor Pardito was one of the original people in the Dufton ward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the names of any of the others that were in the Dufton ward then. There could have been a Mr. Whittaker, I think, was a councillor then briefly, and I'm not too sure who else.
How about the centenary of the Shire of Berwick in 68? Have you got any memories of that at all?
No, 1968. No, I wouldn't dare say anything. I couldn't remember anything specific about that.
Yeah, right. Well, then we come to the severance movement. Do you recall Graham Sweeney and the other people in it? And
yes, there had been a severance movement before, and Councillor Pardito was one of those that was involved in that. But I'm not sure, I think a year or two before, but Graham Sweeney came to visit me one time, me being, I think, I'm not sure, the president of the Ratepayers Association at the time. And he visited myself and other people in the district that had an interest in the severance and in the Ratepayers Association, and he was warden at the Monash Uni at the time, and he was interested in living at Harkaway, and he became interested in the problems that we had, the rural people at one end and the urban people at the other, the conflict between them, and the well, it's a really more or less an unhealthy situation, because each wanted their own way, because the Shire people had been used to doing things in their way for so long with the Shire, and the urban growth had come out so quickly that it caused problems, and there needed to be problems that could be served only by the, say, by a city, an urban area of their own, and a rural area of their own. So anyhow, eventually we got enough agitation and work going and so forth, and the Shire the city did sever from the Shire. We did have a movement, really, that created a severance. And then
did you have public meetings?
Quite a lot of. Quite a lot. But we've had a number of public meetings. We did have public meetings of the Severance Committee, and for a time my next door neighbour Billy Gay and I were members of that. But then later on, it required people that were more able, I should say, that had the time, the ability, and that sort of thing to do the finer work of structuring the severance movement and the approaches to it, and it went ahead and developed the the severance in a pretty thorough and workmanlike way, and we got the result.
How would you describe the leaders of that movement, for example, Graham Sweeney and the
Very, very ardent workers. Graham was a very strong, democratically minded man, and he felt that things needed changing, and there was the need to get on with it and get it achieved, and he went ahead with that. He and Barry Simon and a number of others, one of the Ray brothers, I can't remember which of the Rays it was, but I remember us meeting at Ken Dingle's home up in Hallam North one time. There are other people there that at the moment I just can't put my name to. But Graham was a really alive wire. He was very strong, and he had the ability and had the opportunity, I suppose, to get things drawn up and ring people and that sort of thing, to organise. And he was very, very thorough, and he did a good job. And the proposal went ahead from there. I think largely because the people in the rural and the shire had come to believe that it was inevitable and probably would benefit them in the long run. They were a bit against it in the first place. So anyhow, they came round and must have thought, well, we'll get rid of these dashed rascals anyhow. They're a thorn on our side, so we'll let them win and so forth. And so it did happen that we got the severance.
How about the city of Dandenong? They always seem to be trying to put a foot in there.
Yes, they were, but a lot of people... I know the Hallam Ratepayers Association was very vocal against that. I think they were. Now, I could be saying something that's wrong there, but I know quite a number of them were. But Dandenong was always trying to edge out this way and take over somewhere, particularly because they wanted the industrial area, because that was the southern part of the highway. There's the three industrial giants, the International, Heinz and General Motors, and that's what the city of Dandenong were after. They wanted the money that was coming in from those, and the Doveton riding for long enough got quite a lot of money. That was the system of ridings, balances, the money that was accrued in the balance in the riding had to be spent in the riding. And this is one of the things that the problems that there had been existing with the rural end, because they had, before the Doveton riding was formed, that money went to the Shire of Berwick, or area of the Shire of Berwick. And of course they lost that, and this is one of the things they were quite annoyed about. And it meant there was a lot of money that they couldn't use. Anyhow, the Doveton riding was formed, and the swimming pool is one of the things that came from that, and quite a lot of other things.
Do you recall the local government advisory board hearings in September 71?
Oh, I wasn't present, but Mrs. Glenys Watkinson, I think, represented the, I'm not sure, I think it was the Hallam Ratepayers Association on that hearing. Possibly, I'm not sure whether Max Hawker was involved as well, but I remember Glenys being there anyhow. She was one of our Ratepayers Association people, and she was pretty vocal on a number of committees around at the time. Very, very interested and very, very keen.
And anything else before the announcement of the creation of the city in February 73?
Not much that I can remember just offhand. There were a lot of things going on about them, I suppose, and I was involved in one or two other things. But I can't remember. I can't honestly say that I can remember very much about other things.
Why did you decide to stand for council for the Hallam district in 73?
Well, the main reason was I'd been part of the severance committee and I'd done a lot of talking, and I thought it was my place then to put up or shut up and do something about it. At least we'd begun something, or helped have begun something, begin something. And I thought, well, it'd be silly of me to start something off and run away from it. If there's work to be done, it was something that had to be faced, and we had to get to it. And I thought, well, what little I could do, I'd have to do. Because I don't like to say something and then leave it for someone else to do.
And how did you go about getting elected? Did you door knock?
I did door knock a certain amount, not a big lot. I went around the immediate area where I thought that I could find someone that would be able to have an interest in the local affairs. A lot of people weren't interested. And I think it's a great shame, because the people that represent them are the people that they need to come to know and see what those people are going to do for them. Too many of the people are too apathetic. They take too much for granted, and they only get what they deserve. So I door knocked a bit and leafleted it. I had to run off some stuff, make up some stuff myself, and I think I did get a little bit of help somewhere or another. Someone copied something out for me, and I think I got some stuff printed off somewhere or another. But it was a very, very amateurish effort. I was fortunate. It wasn't so much that people voted for me. There were five candidates in the Hallam ward. Jim Alexander, George Chudley, Glenys Watkinson, and Stuart Lucina, and myself. And two of the candidates became bitter towards each other. They lived near each other. Two of the candidates became a bit bitter, and they were trying to fight each other and so on. And that caused a lot of people to feel that that wouldn't be the right sort of thing, that sort of atmosphere. Pardon me. So in the long run, the two most successful candidates, Jim Alexander and George Chudley, realising that things were going their way a bit, they had a small meeting amongst their supporters, and they decided that though I was unknown, I probably wouldn't be any worse than one of the two that were fighting and calling each other names. So they agreed to give me their preferences, you see, and that's how I came to it. It's more or less the luck, just sheer luck, or someone else playing up. And
so you got in mainly on preferences.
That's right.
You?
Yes. Yes.
And were you an independent, and were they Labour or Liberal or something like that?
No. I have been a member of the Labour Party for many years, though I stood as an independent, and I chose that way, and I made it part of my platform that I was independent. That some of the other people pretended to be, and were not. Jim Alexander was the one person in all council who could honestly say that he was independent of any politics. And I have a very, very high regard for Jim. There were times when it was only my support that gave him the opportunity of having a motion discussed. And it was pretty disheartening for him a lot of times. He had a very, very hard road to hoe, because some of the people were pretty brutal. And they wanted their own way pushed and so forth. But he would be probably, I'd say, of the time, he would have been, I should say, the most open and straightforward councillor of the time. As far as being even-handed and fair-minded. He wasn't any way swayed by any political party or anything of that sort. He was too independent.
This is just the other councillors of that year. I was just wondering if you wanted to say anything about any of the other ones.
Well, first I'd say that Barry Simon was a very, very good mayor, and he was a very good man to have as the first mayor.
Why was that?
Oh, he was like Graham Sweeney. Although he had a bit different approach to Graham Sweeney. I suppose there was a bit of a politician in Barrie. He later became the federal member for Macmillan, I think it was. He had the ability to get people together and to get things working, and also to work around. He was a solicitor, I think, and he was able to work around when things got a bit tied up and touchy. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes he was able to put things in a way that got things moving again. There were problems, I suppose, like all of us. Barrie had his little ways and so forth that a lot of other people didn't agree with, but mostly we got along. And there was a division in council, pretty even. Sometimes we were just fortunate from being able to retain the original Loder and Bailey plan. This was touch and go at one stage, whether we'd wipe them right out and then call for someone else to set up a plan. Well, that would have wasted, I think, about $55,000 at that time. Apart from that, had already been spent.
This was the original plan for the city?
For the city, yes. I think about five council or some number like that had, I believe, been influenced. I'm prepared to say this now, that by the developers in some way or another, and they were wanting to throw out that plan. And,
for what reasons?
Well, my own interpretation of it is that it didn't suit the developers and the speculators as well as they would have liked. And I think it was more of a democratic plan that would serve the people of the community for 50 to 100 years ahead, whereas it might prevent some developers from making as much money as they'd want to do. It was a pretty forward and far-reaching plan, and we were interested in developing the area of the community here, the area to in such a way that the whole community would be benefited, not just the immediate community, but as things developed, as the population expanded, that the facilities would be there for them and not had to be like Dandenong and other places where so many so much of the place was choked up and so on, and there wasn't room for expansion and the necessary things. When you get a large number of people together, there wasn't room for the buildings, the kindergartens, the halls and that sort of thing. We wanted to make sure that those things were provided in advance so that in suitable sizes so that the community could expand in a healthy way. And Barrie was one of the seven movements. I don't know whether I mentioned him or not before. He was one of the keen activists in that, and he had a good idea of planning and what he would like to see, because he had moved out here, I think, from Dandenong or somewhere like that. He lived in Narre Warren North Road, I think, at the time, somewhere thereabouts. And he had a small family, and they were interested in having reasonable open space.
What about Jack Thomas, do you recall?
Jack worked for Standard Roads. He was accountant for Standard Roads. And Jack was very interested in, particularly in the Narre Warren North area. Jack lived up there. And he was a very good councillor. He was involved in many things that, of course, that dealt with the Narre Warren area particularly, and I was involved in quite a lot of organisations, he and his wife Dot, and unfortunately we didn't have them for very long because they both died early, and Dot first, and I think it was only a few years later on that we lost Jake.
No.